Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by The Garden Grocery, your online grocery store. For all your Disney grocery needs, they will deliver to any of the fine Disney resorts. Contact Garden Grocer at thegardengrocer.com. Show is also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay in a deluxe resort at reduced prices, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show is also being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area for any of their Orlando attraction, contact Elite at elitevacationhomes.com. And you can find all of our fine sponsors on our website at It's All In WDW. So come on, guys, let's hop on the train, head over to the pub, and we'll talk to you soon.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
The WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined as always by my good buddy Dan. Hey Dan, pull up a stool.
Hey Doug, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. We're also joined by our good buddy John Peters. How you doing tonight, John?
Good. Hey guys, how we doing? Peachy.
And then we're also joined by our buddy Bob Sycon from our website, It's All In WDW. How you doing tonight, Bobby?
Do you guys serve Victory Dirt Wolf in this joint?
Yes, we do. We bought it just for you tonight.
So thank goodness. Great beer, everybody.
You get your Victory Dirt Wolf. We got Golden Monkey for John. We got Hellas for me. And we still haven't figured out what Dennis likes. But we keep adding alcohol to his fruit drinks, and he don't know it. But we got to figure something else out.
Yeah, I'll get with the program eventually.
Well, We're waiting for you, Dan. But, yeah, I keep spiking them fruit drinks. I don't know if you know that.
That's why I like them so much.
There you go.
So what do you have on hand tonight, Johnny? What are you drinking? I know you have a beer.
I got an Orange Blossom Pilsner. That's a beer you can find a couple of spots down at Walt Disney World, including the Margarita Dockside Margaritas at Disney Springs and the Sci-Fi Dine-In at Hollywood Studios. Okay. It's a really good, refreshing beer on a hot summer day. So,
and we'll pretend Bob's drinking a Dirt Wolf. Are you drinking a Dirt Wolf, Bob?
No, not drinking that. Can't find it in Atlanta. But I can tell you I am drinking an exotic beer today.
Miller Lite.
You can pretty much find it in every venue in Walt Disney World. It would be a Miller Lite.
Yeah, there you go. I called that one. And I am the only one drinking a Victory beer. I have a Victory Hellas sitting here. So what we're going to do tonight, guys, is we're going to rate the Epcot pavilions, the 11 countries around World Showcase. We're going to list them from our least favorite to our favorite. And just so you guys know, we love every one of the pavilions, so it's kind of like we like them all, but we're going to list our favorites tonight. We're going to list them in order. So you guys ready for this?
Yes, ready to go.
You got it.
Let's do it.
So I guess we'll let the guy that hasn't been on the show in a while go first, and he can list his 11th pavilion. So you want to go first, Bobby?
Sure. So number 11 for me, I should say first, just really quickly, thanks for having me back. I have been on the road for the last 3 months or so, and it's been a really busy time. Mrs. All in WDW and I sat down last night, and when I learned what the topic was for today's show, and we went through the different pavilions, and just really quick, we ranked each pavilion on restaurants, shops, and attractions, and we tag them either excellent, good, or just meh. And when we did that and used a point system for it, we actually surprised ourselves with our number 11th attraction, because it used to be, I would say, maybe in our top two or three. But number 11 for us, with the absence of our beloved Maelstrom, is Norway.
Okay. I could see that with you not being in love with Frozen that much. You know, as the new ride. So, I mean, I don't know if any of you guys, anybody else have that at 11?
Yep, I do.
I don't have Norway at number 11, but I do have Arendelle at number 11. So, yeah.
I mean, the only thing that gave me pause from making it
school 11 bread?
Was the school bread. And, but given the fact that one of my favorite attractions is no longer there, I have issue with Norway. So I could justify putting it at 11.
And interestingly, when so the way we sort of rated it was we rated it school bread notwithstanding, because that was probably the most redeeming quality from a restaurant standpoint. We rated it meh on restaurants and attractions and just good on shops. And when I asked Mrs. All in WDW to re-rate it as if Maelstrom was still open, she moved attractions from meh to excellent. And when we did that, it actually would have rocketed to number 3 on our chart.
No, and I get it. Go ahead, Denny. I'm sorry.
No, that's a good good justification, Bob. I kind of agree with that. I think that the attraction should and would have pulled it up, much higher in your list to a top 3 billing. That says a lot. I guess, and it also says a lot that it dropped the other way as well. So, to each his own. I mean, there's no right or wrong answer to these questions here. So, you can have it at 11 if you want.
So, and you have it at 11 too, Dennis, because they mm-hmm. got rid of your beloved ride. Now, why did you put Arendelle last, Johnny?
Because whatever.
After those eyes that you, after the way you looked in that picture, I thought that was going to be number 1 for you.
Well, you notice that ride must have terrified me, because we haven't been back on it since then. And as much as my wife really likes the movie Frozen and stuff, we still haven't rode that attraction again. It's just not all that it's really made up to be, you know. I mean, it was okay, but that was about it. But I mean, I hit Norway for the salmon and egg bagel sandwich, and then I get an Einstock at the beer stand, and then watch Illumination. So it's a great spot to hang out and watch Illuminations. But the store has a lot of very overpriced sweaters that somebody living in Florida has absolutely no use for. So everything is Anna and Elsa now. So I mean, There's a couple of Viking merchandise left here and there, but not very sparse and hard to find. So yeah, it's just not a very interesting pavilion anymore.
Well, John, you'll appreciate this, John. Sorry, Doug. The only reason that we rated it good on shops is because I bought an overpriced parka there once.
That lasts forever.
Yeah, it lasts forever, and it's coincidentally no good to me in Atlanta.
Exactly.
Yeah, because I have a hat, and we got a sweater years ago. I forget when we got it, but it's been a while. But they did last forever. But I do, the H&H hat that I got for near that thing, I still have it upstairs. And I can't believe I'm still wearing that thing. It's probably 21 years old, and it's still in good shape, so... But I don't wear it every day. You know how you put it in the hat collection. But I do like the show. I like it a little more than you guys. I have Norway at number 8. But I can understand why it dropped so far on your list, because you guys are very, very bitter about Maelstrom, so I get it. And John, I think the ride scared him so bad that he's afraid to ever go back into Norway after that ride.
Just utter amazement with that ride. Absolutely. So.
So what I'll do is, being you guys all had Arendelle last, I'll give what Mayan was last. I had actually China last. And I know you guys, I know I've gotten on you guys to eat at the China, to go over to a restaurant, eat at China. And again, let me preface by saying I like every one of the countries, but somebody had to finish last. And the China Pavilion is the one that we don't do the Circle Vision 360. When's the last time you guys seen that movie?
Years.
And we'll roam through the stores. I do like the market in the back, and we do like the fish pond, and when the acrobats are going. But we find that we spend the least amount of time in that pavilion. I've eaten at the restaurant before, I loved it, but I just haven't been back, and it's been so long since I've done any major anything in that pavilion that I had a list at last. So China came in last for me.
So, well, you know the redeeming quality of China.
No, what is it?
The joy of tea.
Oh yes, the joy of tea. I forgot all about that. The best bargain on Disney property, the joy of tea. So make sure Pat knows that. So what do you have for number 10? I'll go back to Bob for number 10, being we all had, you guys all had Arendelle as 11. So what do you have as 10, Bob?
All right, so I may be a little bit off the range on this one, but from a restaurant standpoint and from an attraction standpoint, we labeled this pavilion good, but the shops we just said were meh. And that is the only redeeming quality of France to me is the little mimes with the chairs and the fellow with the whistle. That's something I could watch each and every time I went through World Showcase, but it's just not enough to push it any higher on my list than number 10.
I can't agree with you more. I actually also have it as 10. The one that I do love about the France Pavilion is it is beautiful. I love looking at the Eiffel Tower, the whole nine yards, but I do have a memory of my dad with him. I pushed the wheelchair up next to the mime, and he had no clue. She was just frozen, or he was. And then next thing I know, the mime had his arms on my dad, and my dad almost walked again. I was going to say, Jesus, it's a miracle, because his back was healed, because it freaked him out so bad when the mime reached down and touched him. But then I felt bad, because after he moved, his back started to hurt again. But you know, as a son, you got to do those certain things to your father, no matter how much pain he's in. You got to do it for the greater good. But
yeah, I mean, I see France being at number 10 for you guys, but you know, I think the bakery is top notch, and I know they have that early entry breakfast where you can get the breakfast sandwiches and stuff. If you're a wine connoisseur, and they got a good selection of obviously French wines, and if you're into the culinary side of things, I know over the years my son has bought, you know, culinary books and different instruments and cooking utensils and all kinds of stuff. So I guess like all of these, it all depends on what you're into and what you like. But there's a lot to be had there above and beyond, obviously, no attraction and, you know, some of the other things I mentioned. But it is very strong in those other areas if you're into that stuff.
Yeah, I mean, I know Monsieur Paul and the other France restaurant, Le Chef de France. Yeah, they're both really good restaurants, but I don't find myself eating there all the time. But again, like I said, I like both the restaurants, but again, we don't eat like the Chinese restaurant, Lotus. We don't go to the French restaurants all the time. So I know our friends over at Happiest Vlog will be upset because of Monsieur Paul's, but I got to rate it a 10 myself just because of the amount of time. And I do love the shops, and the pastry shop is awesome. Me and Brenda will head over there. But tell me that the perfume shop and all, some days I go in there and some of their shops, the perfume's so strong it gives me a headache.
Yeah, they're in Italy. Both of those places. I mean, if you walk in at the wrong part at the wrong time of day, it'll rocket your head to the moon. So.
Yeah, if you're following one of the ladies that wants to try every single fragrance, run for the hills. Run for the hills. What were you going to say, Danny?
No, I was just going to say I agree. When I'm making ADRs or thinking about making ADRs, the French restaurants often don't even cross my mind, or if they do, it's very late in the week or the vacation, so we end up not booking. So I can see that. I mean, Chefs de France is just all right. We've eaten there a few times over the years, but it's good, but it's nothing over the top. And I've never eaten at the
Monsieur Paul's.
Yeah, I mean, I've never actually eaten there, and I'm sure it is good and nice, but again, just not something we've done yet.
Well, Le Chef de France, the only reason we entered the place was to see Ratatouille. So hopefully they'll get the Ratatouille ride that's being rumored out there. And I'll tell you
rumor
what,
has it.
Chef de France will move up the list, boys.
Yeah, nice. You know, it needs it.
Yes. What do you got at 10, Johnny?
We're heading over to Mexico for my number 10. I mean, again, you know, to reiterate the fact, we love all of these pavilions, and I spend time in all of these pavilions.
Oh, believe me, you spend time and a hell of a lot of money in every one of these pavilions.
Yeah, but we had to rank them. So, yeah, Mexico's at number 10. I mean, we never eat at the Mexican restaurants because we've got a really good Mexican restaurant in town that's probably a quarter of the price. And so we never eat at any of the restaurants, and the place outside you can get a frozen margarita at, but I liked it better when it was the frozen margarita stand sitting there all by itself. That was easy place to pick up one, and I like the boat ride, enjoy that. But again, I mean, if I just purely go off of my beer selection, they have Corona, which you can buy almost anywhere in the United States, and it's more of an American beer than a Mexican beer anyway. So it's just an
It
okay
all
for
comes
me.
Back to the beer in the pavilion.
Pretty much.
We're figuring it
Pretty
out
much.
Now.
Where are you? John, I got to agree with John. I actually have Mexico at 10 as well, and primarily just for the reason that it's not my favorite cuisine. In fact, it's probably of all the pavilions, my least favorite cuisine. So although they do have a unique restaurant with the boats riding by, and La Cava's in there, which that was the only thing that gave me pause for ranking this so low. But all things considered and given what the other pavilions have to offer, Mexico went number 10 for me.
You like La Cava the day you were there with me.
Yeah, I did. But again, that was a late ad, if you will, right? It's only been there, what, 7 years, five, 7 years or whatever. So looking at the balance of the rest of the pavilion, it wasn't enough to, you know, make it move up my list any. So I'm happy with it at 10.
Well, if our friend was tequila solo instead of beer solo, it'd be number one.
That'd be a different story then.
Where did you have Mexico fall on your list while we're talking about it, Bobby?
Actually, number two.
Oh, well, and it fell number four for me, and it actually fell number four for my wife. So we're big. I love the Mexican Pavilion. The boat ride is one of the old school favorite rides of mine. As corny as it could be, I still love going on that ride. It's one of the rides that I do almost every single trip. I don't know about you guys.
Well, I was just going to say, sorry, Dennis. I mean, that's Mary's favorite, right? I mean, there's been one or two times where cast members, because it's not a very high volume ride, if you're there at the right time, and we've gone around in our own little boat, and then as we've come back to the disembarkation, Mary's asked, or we've asked, can we go around again? And they just let us stay in the boat and go around the second time. Mexico for us actually scored as excellent in restaurants, shops, and attractions. And I did ask her, since, you know, it's rumored that the Three Amigos ride's going to be replaced by something else, if that goes away, does that change where we put Mexico? And as it turned out, it really didn't. It would still be at number two.
Now, I enjoy everything in the pavilion. I'm still amazed by how you transport from going outside. When you go in there, you totally are transported to Mexico. Like, you don't feel like you're in Florida anymore. Especially if you're there during the daytime and you go in there at night, it's really cool. I mean, if you go in the daytime and then all of a sudden you're in the night inside the pavilion. And me and Brenda's, we have eaten here probably four or five times, so I like the restaurant. I don't love it. I'm not saying it's the best food on Disney property, but the atmosphere when you get the mariachi band playing, you grab a couple margaritas, get on the boat ride, everything that there is to do in this pavilion, that's why it came in for number four for me. So, applauding or are you just breathtaking?
No,
I'm kidding.
No,
I'm obviously on your side there.
Yeah. No, I think you and Bob make a good case for it being so high on your list, and you know, I could see that. Like I said, if I liked Mexican food, if it was a favorite cuisine of mine, it would have definitely moved up several notches. But for me, just because of the food alone, I ranked it so low. But everything you said is true. There's a good balance of things to do. If you like that kind of food, I mean, there's a beautiful sit-down restaurant on the inside, and then you have, you know, across the street where you can get, you know, all kinds of stuff, and seating for Illuminations. We didn't even mention that. That's
absolutely
one of the better pavilions for viewing for Illuminations. In fact, Bob and I and our families watched it together there a couple years ago.
I might add, Mr. Conroy drinking a loaded frozen margarita.
With a floater. Yeah. He still talks to me off the air about that. He said he thinks he's still hungover from you putting that floater on him, Bob. And there is four different places to eat there at that pavilion, isn't there? Four different areas where you can grab food. Five if you count La Cava Tequila.
Yeah, they have a little bar menu there. You're right, Doug.
Yeah, because you got three outside areas where you can grab food from different places. Am I wrong, guys?
No, I think you're right.
Yeah, you got the area, you got the outside the other restaurant, the sit down, and then right behind that there's a counter there, and then across from there there's another counter service area. So you got five different areas to grab food. And again, that mariachi band, I could be tired, I could be in a okay mood, but when that mariachi band starts to play, I defy anybody not to come to life. It's a really good time. I want to throw a hat on, grab some of the shakers, and shake my groove thing while I'm in there. So I love that pavilion. You guys all went dead on me after I said I was going to dance through the pavilion.
Yeah, I was just thinking nobody really wants to see that. So
I'll tell you what. Me and my buddy Tyler were Salt and Pepper before Salt and Pepper ever came out. Let me just tell you, I could cut a rug. So, but anyway, what's number nine for you, Bobby?
Okay, number nine on my list, only on the graces of its signature restaurant, is Canada. The attractions and shops are just meh. Obviously, Le Cellier is the centerpiece in our mind, and that because of it's fallen in our mind's eye over the years, it's just not enough to propel it up the list.
I bet John has an argument about that.
Yeah, that, you know what? I've got Canada at number eight, and it's only at number eight because of Le Fin du Monde. I mean, otherwise, I probably would have put it at 11. I mean, there's we go up to look through the stores. I mean, there's hardly ever any new merchandise in there. I think the newest thing they put in there was the Le Cellier stuff. I took some pictures of that one time. But
is it because the lumberjacks were taken out of there?
Yeah, you know what? If Off Kilter was still there, it would probably be a different story. If I could go get me a Le Fin du Monde and watch Off Kilter, then I'm sure it would be a little higher than number eight. But yeah, that's I have it at number eight, so I'm almost in total agreement with Bob on this one. So,
well, I would agree if Off Kilter was still there. The way that Mary and I rated things, it probably would be as high as maybe number five, number six on my list.
Well, Dan, how high do you have Canada?
Canada's number two for me, and you know, I'm going to sound like a broken record the rest of the show, but food for me outweighed most of the other things in the pavilions. And, you know, even though I have my issues with Le Cellier, I still think it's a top-notch restaurant. You know, they still have great food, even though limited seating, hard to get, snooty, you know, wait staff at times, all those things. But I do agree with John and Bob that it does leave a lot to be desired in the retail sector. And, you know, there's not a whole lot going on there, you know, generally speaking. I mean, visually, the garden there is beautiful. But purely, it's number two for me based on what I believe is one of the better restaurants on property and holds a lot of memories for my family and I over the years. So that's why I got it so high on my list.
Well, I'm going to be on board with my other miserable buddy here. It's two old men sitting in the tower. I actually have Canada at number two for most of the same reason you gave, Dan, because of I love the restaurant. The food is – I still think the food is awesome to me. The problem I have is, like I told you, is some of the feeling of welcome home kind of deal, kind of – you know, with it getting snooty, starting to smell itself, as we call it up here, when you get – too big for your britches. That's how I felt like the restaurant got. But the food is still phenomenal. And looking at my little cottage, my little home away from home, and the gardens are just Disney to me. It's my favorite things to, you know, one of my favorite things to look at in all of Disney World is that landscape there. So, and I have so many family memories. Now, the negatives are they do need to get a band, I think, and stick with it. The last couple I've seen there were actually pretty good. I mean, the last group was, I actually sat there and watched for about 20 minutes. Me and my brother-in-law, they were singing a bunch of Shania Twain songs, which I really enjoyed because I like her. And but I do think they should do something with the, they need a better gift shop, or they should also expand the restaurant, I think. I think that restaurant needs an outside patio somewhere. I think there's way too much wasted space in the Canadian Pavilion.
Yeah, I mean, I think we talked about it. They should blow a hole in the ceiling, wipe out the stores, and put a second deck or, you know, something with outside seating, like you're saying, and imagine the views of illuminations from up there you'd have.
How also would it be a Canadian Molson, some pretzel bread, and watching Illuminations? I mean, and then a filet, you know, some cheddar cheese soup. I mean, I think they're missing their. I love the whole cellar. That it's beautiful down there, but I think they could have an outside area like how United Kingdom has the fish and chips. They need another. I think they need another restaurant or an outdoor eating area at that pavilion. What do you and John?
Doug, what do you think? You were just saying, you know. You were just saying that Mexico has five places you can grab food. Canada has one.
Exactly.
So it's just odd that, you know, some places get. So, I mean, I guess Mexican food does kind of translate better to street food and quick service and stuff like that. But I still don't understand with this, you know, the fascination that Canadians have with poutine and the fact that it's growing in popularity in the United States. Why they put a poutine stand at Disney Springs but didn't put one in the Canadian Pavilion at Epcot. So it's
exactly.
Just kind of confusing.
But so, I don't want to see them do anything with those gardens. But who sees the Canada? I can't remember the last time I seen the Canada film. That needs an upgrade too. Everybody don't even realize Niagara Falls is behind the pavilion. You know what I know it's there. You guys know it's there. But how? You can't even see it. Am I wrong?
No, you've got to explore to find it, and you're right, probably 99, but, you know, a good majority of the guests probably blow right by it.
Exactly, but I think they could do something with the souvenir shop. Don't you think so, Bob?
Actually, that's one of the things that we sort of labeled as meh. I mean, there isn't really much there. I mean, you walk in, you walk back out. You know, maybe you want to buy a bottle of small bottle of maple syrup. There's just not, with the exception of Le Cellier, for us, there's just not much there. And I could have made an argument that it should be lower on the list, you know, behind France, because France at least does have the bakery, a couple of sit-down restaurants, the ice cream shop. I could have made an argument that it was number 10 on my list. There's just not a – Le Cellier doesn't carry enough for us to take it up the list.
Now, mine is, like I said before, is I have so many – I've eaten there so many times, and it was always one of my favorite places to be, that it's kind of like that restaurant alone justifies it to be two for me with all my family memories. And that cottage outside that John jokes about, that is my vacation home.
Right.
So that's why it's two for me.
Yep. Like we said, no right or wrong answer here. It's all in your personal preference. And I think both sides of the argument carry weight. And, you know, Doug and I are right. And you guys are a little off on this.
Obviously.
There you go. Very good, Dennis. You're getting good at this now.
Yeah.
Is that what happened while I was away? Dennis got grumpy?
Yeah, yes. There's been some changes.
I meant to tell you guys, I saw a picture of you guys on the internet.
Where?
Uh-oh, where?
Yeah, they for some reason, they were calling it Statler and Waldorf.
Oh, yeah, it's all over the place.
Yeah.
Waldorf is the better looking of the two, so that's who I am. But Dennis, I own that, and I know you do, too.
What's that?
I own that I'm Waldorf. I don't mind it. I'm not a hater. I enjoy it. I take pride in that.
Right.
So, but my wife actually, she had her last three were Japan, China, and Norway. So she's been I was shocked she had Japan left, last, but I know you guys with China and Norway, she's right on par with you guys pretty much. So where are you going, number eight, Bobby?
Okay, so, Doug, settle down.
I didn't get a number
nine. Attractions.
Oh, okay. Hold on a second, Bob. John said he didn't get nine.
Wait,
you need to speak up.
Backing up, backing up. Woo, woo, woo.
All right. My number nine is Italy. Even though I deliver the Italian food, but there's really no attraction here. And I appreciate what you guys are saying about the sit-down restaurants and stuff, especially Le Cellier and stuff. But the way that we generally tour, we usually eat at the quick-service restaurants. And so a lot of my choices are going to be based on what the quick services offer. And Canada doesn't have one. And like I said, Mexico's is limited. Or it's just not all that good, the quick services. And Italy does not have a quick service other than the gelato cart. I mean, that's about all we do in Italy is I get my
pizza
wife
window,
a chocolate
pizza
gelato.
Window.
Well, sometimes.
Yeah.
So, occasionally. Yeah, I searched that out the last time I was there, and they told me where it was and that it's only going to be open in August is when they plan on opening
really?
It again. Yeah. So I don't get the stipulation on the time of this. But, yeah, I know where it is now. So it's to the left of – if you're looking at Via Napoli, it's the far left glass door.
Yeah, I know where it is.
Is where the, yep. So, but yeah, I mean, other than that, there's really nothing to that. None of the stores in Italy are all that interesting. So the food that they carry and the coffee and stuff is all stuff that I see every day. So I'm not all that fascinated with it. And the beers aren't very good. And I mean, I like the little Venice area.
Peroni's very good. Peroni's very good.
Okay.
Okay, don't start on my Peroni now, John.
John, you just upset the flag waivers got canceled. And
you're right. You're right. Son of a gun.
That's what it is.
Well, yeah. I mean, for us, Italy is higher on the list, but there's, you know, like you were mentioning earlier, I think, Doug, you know, it's for sentimental reasons. I mean, one, we did give Italy credit for Via Napoli. And the massive popularity of that restaurant, we did know the flag waivers were like gone, but we do enjoy the juggler when he's there. I mean, for us, the sentimentality is that there's a lot of nights where we've been able to enjoy illumination sitting at an umbrella table in Italy with a glass of wine. So that kind of pushed it up a little bit. On our list, as opposed to where John has it.
Well, I was so into Mexico and arguing with you guys about Mexico that me or Dennis didn't even give our number nines. So, Dan, what did you have for number nine, Dan? I've had one too many victory houses, and I've worked a 14-hour day today. So, forgive me, guys.
You're forgiven. Understandable. I had China at number nine. I think you said it, Doug. It's just not a pavilion we spend a whole lot of time in. I mean, it's beautiful. It, you know, the store is substantial, and but it's just, again, not a place that we've spent a lot of time in. And I know you've been trying to get me to eat at the sit-down restaurant, which we will do at some point, maybe even this next trip. And, it'd have to go somewhere on the list. It's not a strong pavilion for me.
Well, if you don't go to the Gioia Teak for Pacinetti and get the best combo meal on property, go in and do a luncheon there, Dan, and just get some, just to enjoy the service and the whole culture of it, because it is beautiful. It really does make you feel like you are visiting. They do a really good job. It's beautiful in there.
Yeah, and, you know, to keep with my, food what do I want to say? You know, how I'm rating the pavilions, you know, with food weighing very heavily. I mean, I love Chinese food, so I really should eat there and stick to what I'm saying here.
Well, if you love Chinese food, you'll love it in there, because it is a step above your normal Chinese food, in my opinion.
Right.
Chinese food.
Yeah. And you and I talked about it, that it kind of harkens back to what it was 20 years ago when we used to go out to Chinese restaurants in our hometowns, where you got the pot of tea and, you know, did more of a table service type thing. Now, you know, most of the tables are gone and they just want you to grab a brown bag and beat it and get out of the restaurant.
Oh,
right?
Yeah. All I get is, what your phone number? What your number? 3295. Doug, get out of here.
Or Dennis, you know what I always think of when I think of the way that you're actually served in Nine Dragons and stuff is at the end of Christmas Story when they go out to Christmas dinner at the Chinese restaurant.
So. They bring the duck out?
Yeah.
Well, I don't know about the duck, but they have the pot of tea and the whole thing. So, yeah.
No, it's a beautiful, like I said, the restaurant, the Chinese restaurant down there, the way, it's just a beautiful atmosphere in there. It's really nice, and I think you'd really enjoy it. Number nine for me, John, I agree with you. I had Italy at number nine. Just because in the area I'm at, first of all, my wife can't eat a lot of Italian food. She don't like to eat a lot of dairy. But for the most part, we get so much better Chinese food here. I mean, Chinese food here, Italian food around here. I mean, all the Italian restaurants around here are better than anything we can get down there, in my opinion. It's like, and anywhere I can, how can I put this? There's a million Italian restaurants around here. Is it unique for me to go eat Italian? And I want to try different things, and that's the reason why we've eaten at the Italian restaurants before. They're very, very good down there, but it isn't like on the top of our list to go eat there is what I want to say, and that's why Italy fell at number nine. And I do agree with you. If the gondolas worked out front, it would rate a lot higher for me.
Yeah.
Or if they had a Pinocchio ride or, I don't know, anything, and they just don't have much to go. So.
No. So what's number eight, Bob, on that we did the little sidetrack there?
Okay. Driving the bus back in. So, Doug, settle down. We love the marketplace for its variety and size. The attractions are non-existent, and the restaurants are, for us, just okay. Number eight is Morocco.
Boo. That's just wrong on so many levels. Morocco's a little higher for me, and I get what you're saying. I get it. I know John's going to have Morocco much higher. Where do you have Morocco, John?
I got Morocco at number four.
Yeah, I figured that. I got it at five. Just because
I have it at six.
Just because of the Spice Road tables. It's one of my favorite places on all property, and I do think the Morocco Pavilion is very. I like the design of it and the roaming around there. It's one of my favorite ones to roam through. Actually, what about you guys?
I love it. I mean, it's. Both it and France, if you're actually just roaming through, there's parts of France where if you get back by the bakery and back by in that little part, you can almost spend 360 looking up at the Eiffel Tower and think that just for a second, maybe you are in the middle of Paris somewhere. But Morocco, even much more. I mean, you get back by Restaurant Marrakesh and you would swear you are somewhere in the Middle East. I mean, it in a very nice, peaceful Middle East, but still. But, I mean, it really does a good job of blocking off the sight lines and with the palm trees back there and stuff. It's a gorgeous pavilion, and they really took their time and put a lot of work into it. And there's a lot of little alcoves and stuff in there to explore, you know, the little shops you can go through and then the little museum on the left when you go into the pavilion. And my favorite quick service in all of Walt Disney
Tangerine.
World is there. I absolutely love that place. So, it's a strong pavilion for me. So,
for me, between the Tangerine Cafe and Spice Road Table Spicy Garlic Shrimp, it has to be in the top five for me, and that's why it's number five for me. Why'd you rate it so low, Bobby?
Mainly because it doesn't have anything by way of attractions to speak of. And, you know, from a restaurant standpoint, you know, if we're going to go on quantity of venues, obviously it's pretty strong, stronger even than Canada. But from a cuisine standpoint, like Dennis was mentioning earlier with regard to Mexico, I think it was, I mean, it's just not our thing. I did like the hummus fries that I had. When they served them at one of the food festivals sometime back, and I've not had the spicy garlic shrimp yet, my disdain over what Spice Road Table did to their chicken and beef skewers is legendary at this point. When Mary and I looked at it and we talked about where we would rank the restaurants, it just was meh. It's not, there's so much to do in Disney World to begin with, but even in World Showcase, there's probably at least 3, 4, 5 places we'd rather go as opposed to one of the Moroccan restaurants. So it just was lower on our list.
Now I get the spicy garlic shrimp and a harissa chicken roll and a nice beer, and I could live very, very large. I can get myself my Mythos, my spicy garlic shrimp, and get me the hummus fries and get the harissa chicken roll. And I could get out of there myself for like $30 and be a very, very happy American. What about you, Den? You rated it 6?
Yeah. I had it slightly lower on my list than you at number 6. And I agree, you know, Spice Road Table, favorite of mine. Everything you said about the spicy garlic shrimp. But, you know, generally speaking, aside from what Spice Road Table offers, it isn't my favorite cuisine, so that's really why it was that low. John, what are them plates? What is it? The kibbe plate and the they have the chicken and beef skewer with couscous, I think, or something like that. You can get
at the Tangerine Cafe.
Yeah, I know people rave about that and they say it's good.
It's the shawarma platter.
Okay, yeah, it's, you know, good quality and a good amount for, you know, what you pay. So I've got to say I've never eaten there, although everybody I talk to that either has eaten there or begrudgingly has eaten there usually raves about, you know, the good value they got, and, you know, the food was very good. So it's, you know, it's on me. It's one of those things that, you know, if I had to make a choice, I'd, you know, come up with a reason why I should go to, you know, Italy or, you know, down to Canada or anywhere else but there. And again, I'm probably missing out because I'm sure it's good, but that's the way I think anyways.
Yeah,
I'm right there with you, Dennis.
The chicken shawarma platter and the vegetable platter are very good there. I mean, the hummus is awesome there. I mean, I think you guys really would enjoy it. Have you ever eaten at the Tangerine Cafe, Bob?
I have not. And you know, like I said, and like Dennis just so eloquently said, it's just not our type of cuisine.
Well, if you haven't tried it, how do you know it's not? I mean, it isn't what you think. Now, I have to admit, we've eaten at what's Restaurant Marrakesh. Now, that's horrible. That's a little, that's horrible. So, and to me, it was okay. How can I put it? It was just bland. It was nothing special to me.
Exactly. They dumbed it down. They thought, well, we can't serve anything too spicy for the American palate, so we're just going to take out all the seasonings and all the spices out of this food. And I think it was a beef shank or a lamb shank, and it just tasted like they had put it in a pot of boiling water and boiled it and then threw it out on the platter.
So, we were on the dining plan, and I got the baklava, and they're supposed to be known for that. I was like, oh, yeah, that's going to definitely be good. I could have got, and this is no lie, I could have gone out, my wife could have got blindfolded me and got a piece of cardboard and put powdered sugar on it and cut it into little pieces and served me the baklava and that cardboard with the powder, and I wouldn't have known the difference. That's how bad the baklava was.
I just never could understand how a pavilion that has Spice Road Table and Tangerine Cafe in it that are both just fantastic
They're
places
phenomenal, both
also
of them.
Have Restaurant Marrakesh, which is just not very good at all.
I Dennis.
Mean, so it's confusing.
Yes. Bob and Dennis, you guys both have to go back to the Tangerine Cafe and just,
now,
even with your wife, and split one of those combos.
Now, when you listen to what you're saying, so basically what you're saying is, of all of the pavilions in World Showcase, I should stop and have dinner in Morocco when I could go over to the United Kingdom and have bangers and mash. Why would I do that?
Are you gonna, when you're down there for 7 days, you're gonna eat bangers and mash every night?
What am I there for 7 days?
Oh, you've been down there for a week before. Stop it. Most people are going for a week. I'm just saying that you can go over for a snack and try the Tangerine Cafe is very good.
No, I'd rather have bangers and mash.
So would I, but I'm not eating them on all 7 days of my trip. I've done it for three, and I've gotten in trouble for that. I've had them three times the most.
That's
on
because
one trip.
You're not allowed to have hot dogs.
I am. I'm going to have some this week, actually, because they were buy one, get one free ballparks, and I got in trouble for it, but I'm going to eat them.
Yeah, it's the 4th of July. You can get away with it.
What do you have as eight, Dan, Johnny?
Number eight was my Canada. Yeah. And the only reason it even made, like I said, the only reason it got pumped up to eight is because it has Lefendemont. But other than that, it's, I mean, I love the Rockies, and I love the waterfall back there, but other than that, it's a pretty boring pavilion. I mean, like you said, the flowers are gorgeous, but
it got so high for me just because it's home to me, kind of in the parks.
And John, where are you going to go if you need a hockey jersey in a pinch? Right.
That is a problem I run into quite often. So.
Yeah, you just
hey Dan, next. Go ahead, Bobby, finish up.
I said, generally, when I need a hockey jersey, I just go to Bridgestone Arena to the Western Conference champion Nashville Predators.
Ooh. Oh, okay.
You had to get that in there.
Yes. Hey, Dan, what we're going to do is whoever gets there first, we're going to take a picture of John, walk it over to the Lefendemont beer car, and say, this man hates Canada. He cannot stand this place. So I would not serve him any of your beer.
You
know, it's funny when I go to that.
Oh, go ahead, John. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, when I go to that beer cart now, I walk up there and I just go, and it's funny because they never mess up the order, Doug. Not once have they messed up the order. I just say, I'll take one of those, that best beer in Epcot. And they reach automatically for that Lefendemont. I've never got a Molson accidentally out of them. So
See what happens when I tell them that I play this episode, how bad you hate them. Number eight for me was Norway, which we all gave the reasons why. I do love the school bread, and I'm not as upset with the ride being gone as you guys, but it was number eight for me. Dennis, you had what for eight again?
I had France. We covered that.
Seven, Bobby. What do you have for seven, Bobby?
So number seven for me, very slightly ahead of Morocco, was China. And we do love the shop. Very big place. We were just in Nashville seeing our son and his wife. And I was admiring Joseph had bought at one point these two very heavy bookends that were the lions, and he still has them to this day. I think we ended up carting them back on a plane. It was back when we lived in Cleveland, so those things were really heavy.
And that was back when they didn't charge for every bag, I bet.
Yeah, probably, because they were probably heavy as you know what. But anyway, China was number seven for us.
Hey, Dan, when you do go there, don't tell Bob this because he won't go eat it. Have you ever eaten at the Nine Dragons Cafe, Bobby?
No.
I know you haven't, then, Bobby.
Right.
No, actually, because a good friend of mine sent me to Rose and Crown once to have bangers and mash, and now it's the only thing I can have in Epcot.
Well, he is a great guy. He's good looking too. Just I know that guy. But if you guys ever do get over there, you got to try the pork belly steam buns over there. They are very good as the appetizer, and they're only $10.
Okay. Those sound really good. Now, did you have that at Morimoto Asia when you guys went there the last trip?
I had that at the China Pavilion when we went a few years ago. Me and my wife, we had this. The pork belly steam buns are very good, and so is the General Tso's chicken steam buns. They're pretty. They're a little spicy too. So
those sound worth stopping for, and
they're only $10. They're $10.
I ranked them ahead of Morocco. How about that?
Yeah, I mean, you can go in there, you guys, and steam your buns for $10.
And we know Bob's a sucker for steamed buns. They're in Food and Wine and Flower and Garden. If it's got a steamed bun, he's all over it.
Hey, John, have you ever had a Lucky Buddha?
More than one time. Yes, thank you very much.
Yeah, and I've had the, you know, the Asian style lager. Go in and get yourself a Lucky Buddha, and then get yourself a couple of the appetizers to try to place. I think you guys will really enjoy it. The pot stickers are very good over there too. John, have you ever eaten in the China Pavilion?
Yeah, we did a tour of most of the countries a couple of years ago and tried to eat it at least one meal in every one. I think the only one we made several trips to was Le Cellier, but we ate there one time, and I thought it was a little better than the Chinese joint in town, but not a whole lot better. But just based on the other choices and World Showcase, I think there's so much more to choose from that I just wouldn't go there again. So.
But wasn't it beautiful inside? Wasn't it nice? It was a nice experience. And again, you could go in, like I said, and try a lot of these. You can go in and get a few appetizers and a couple beers and have a great time in there.
What I'd love to have seen, though, is for them to open up that front. You know, you're talking about illuminations viewing and stuff, and it's almost like you're sitting on about 8 feet above the ground when you get in there, because the dining floor is a little elevated, and you would have a nice view of illuminations, but the windows up front are extremely narrow. So it seems like they could have done that a little more, you know, end up with a better view of illuminations or even just the lagoon during the day. So,
well, at the very least, you can go to the Joya Tea, grab a lucky combo for $10.98, and go watch illuminations.
There you go.
Yes, you can.
Yeah. Number seven for me, guys, was Japan. I had Japan at seven. And again, all these I really like. I mean, I enjoy grabbing some sushi. John, the last time we were there, we had your ice beer, which I know you really like. What's the name of that again?
That would be the Frozen Kirin.
And it was very good because we ate that with our good buddy from the Mickey Dudes, Dave. And I like grabbing a California roll or a combination platter and just sitting outside. It's a beautiful area there with the pond and everything else over there. I really enjoy the Japan Pavilion. And I enjoy roaming through the shops over there. And it's one of my favorite places to watch illuminations. So I like the Japan Pavilion. Good, Dan.
No, I was just going to say, I had it at 7, too, and for me, the store, what is it, Mitsukoshi, a merchandise store, I mean, that's a huge, huge store, and that's the one, I believe, where where you can open up an oyster and get a pearl. Is that the right store I'm thinking of?
Yes.
Yeah, yes. They have the pond in there, and again, sentimental reasons, you know, years ago, my daughter and wife actually opened one up there, and we got a setting for it, so, you know, stuff like that always brings back good memories, and we enjoy going through, and as you wander through the store, you can get all them, you know, weird food items that you can't get anywhere else, and it's fun to get those and try them, and make other people eat them and watch their expression and such. You know, again,
Dennis, did you see my post from my last trip on eating some of those weirder food items?
Yes. It sounds like you looked like you were enjoying doing something similar.
A dried squid. Not so much.
No.
Nasty, huh?
Yeah.
Oh, it tasted like a bait shop.
you needed to drop it in the bottom of that ice beer, and maybe it would taste it better by the time you got to it.
Right.
Yeah.
But I mean,
yeah, it was.
Okay, John.
No, it was still a fun experience. It's just, you know, I mean, you're right. That is something that it's a great time to do something like that. I just wish I would have chose something else. So.
Yeah. I mean, it's fairly inexpensive, right? For a couple of bucks, you can buy a few, you know, little bags of food or different things. And like I said, you can have fun watching people eat them and try to dare people and stuff like that. I know that, like, over the years, they have, like, an assortment of chopsticks that are very beautiful, custom handmade. If you're into fans, they have anywhere from, you know, for a couple of bucks, you can get a cheap fan.
The bonsai trees.
Yeah. I've bought a few of them over the years. Unfortunately, they didn't make it, but you're right, Doug. If you're into bonsai, they have the little starter kits all the way up to, you know, fully mature bonsai there. And, you know, again, all kinds of stuff. It all depends on what you're into. But in that store in particular, you can find pretty much anything. And you know, there's some very beautiful stuff in there.
That's the reason I love the Japan Pavilion, is just because, like we said about to us, like me and John were saying, France and Italy, shopping in those two pavilions, not so much. I could roam around the Japan Pavilion for a long time trying to find all the crazy stuff that they have in there. I love it. It's like you're exploring. Every time you go in that store, you find something that you haven't seen before.
Yep.
It's like a Japanese Walmart. I always expect that you'd be able to get your oil changed in the back somewhere.
don't insult that pavilion so much.
Oh.
That's insulting against that pavilion. What do you have at 6? What did you have at 7, Johnny?
7 was China for me.
Okay.
You were talking about the Joy of Tea up front with the lucky combo. That's a great deal, but I had the Tipsy Ducks in Love the last time I was there, and that's a fantastic drink. So I'll be grabbing one of those every time we make our tour around the World Showcase.
John's, all his ratings go by the grading of the alcohol throughout the park. So
pretty much, yes.
Dennis is food. John is alcohol. Bob, I think, is food, and I'm just nuts. So what do you have for number 6, Bobby?
All right. So in this particular pavilion in World Showcase, the attractions are top-notch, best in World Showcase, but the restaurants and shops are non-existent.
I thought you had China lower on your list.
No, I had China lower on my list. By one spot.
Dude, you see, he didn't catch my joke. Go ahead, Bobby. You were saying the attractions at this pavilion. I was just kidding.
Well, the attractions are top-notch. The restaurants and shops are non-existent. That's why the American Adventure has to be number 6.
Shame on you, Bob. Shame. Ding, ding, ding. Shame. You ever watch Game of Thrones, any of yous?
Oh, absolutely.
Shame. Shame on you, Bob. Shame. I want to start ringing the bell. I do agree with you on the restaurant, though, and everybody knows how much I hate the Liberty Bell restaurant. I like the atmosphere of it. Like, my wife loves it, the birds flying, and she loves the little porch area. She loves the outside seating. But if you're only going to serve hamburgers, you better damn well have the best hamburger in the entire park if you're going to make hamburger as the American staple. So I do agree with you about the restaurant, but the ride itself is so far and above the best thing to do in World Showcase that ranks number 3 for me, the American Pavilion.
Yeah, hey, me and you agree.
I have it at my number 1 because I guess I'm the only...
God bless America, Dennis. God bless America, buddy.
No, the only reason he has it at number 1 is he's only patriot on the panel.
Ooh. Well, I recognize. I'm saluting you, Dennis. I just stood up and saluted you, buddy.
Yeah. Well, and I also, although I guess technically we can't count it because food and wine is a specialty type thing that isn't there year-round, but I generally do really enjoy the offerings from Food and Wine and Flower and Garden that they have, as well as the beer. They usually have a Sam Adams or a seasonal Sam Adams there, and generally speaking.
And let me guess, where's Sam Adams from?
Dennis,
isn't that a Boston lager?
Yeah, exactly. It is. But Dennis, I got to kind of call you out a little bit. Because you said this was all about food, and the best food at this pavilion only happens in the spring at Food and Garden.
Dennis must like their hamburger or something there.
No, I totally agree with Doug, and it sounds like Bob and John as far as the food goes. But in this one pavilion, I made an exception because it is America, and I'm very patriotic. And it is, like Doug said, I mean, if you sit there and watch that attraction or experience that attraction and truly take it in, it is pretty moving, and it's very well done. So I think in this one instance, it overtakes my food theory for rating the pavilions.
If you're not proud to be an American after you walk out of there, there's seriously something wrong with you. You should be deported.
Well, yeah.
Well, I understand that. And when it comes to attractions, this was the only pavilion where we really ranked it as an excellent. I mean, between the Voices of Liberty, the American Adventure,
oh, absolutely,
America Gardens Theater, I mean, I mean, it's a fan. It's the only World Showcase pavilion that we think has top-notch entertainment. The problem is the shop is basically non-existent, and the restaurant is much maligned.
Yeah, see,
and
that's
it, even
see,
by even by you, Doug. So I mean, no, for the, us, I the, looked at it and I said, the only good food is during a food festival. How can it possibly be number one?
Well, let me argue about it a little more, because God knows I'd love to argue. The thing is, I agree with you, Bob. The restaurant sucks, and no other way is around it. I've said for years that they should have a little bit from all the country. They should have fish tacos from the West. They should have barbecue from Texas. They should have from up where Dennis is, up in Maine and all. They should have some lobster rolls. They should have some crab. And from the bayou, they should have some jambalaya for Louisiana. They should have some Maryland crab. And then they should have some steak and pasta and stuff like that from the Philadelphia, our area. But the thing I will say, the shop you don't like, I love the gift shop, because there's I love all that the little bit of history stuff that they do have in there. So it is one of my shops that I have to go into every single time at a World Showcase, and I enjoy that, because every time we go down there, my brother-in-law is not with us. We usually buy him a souvenir from that shop because he's a history buff. So the Voices of Liberty, the American Adventure show itself, and that little shop put it up to number three for me. So I understand where you're coming from with the food, but the rest of the pavilion I love.
The shop is as big as a postage stamp.
But
and
it had.
If
it's
they
not,
wanted it, to make that, if they wanted to make that a pavilion that was going to be top notch from a standpoint of you know, an across the board experience, that would be more than just the attractions. I mean, even what you just described about different cuisines from around the country, if they don't want to do it in a restaurant, if they don't want to do it in Liberty Tree, then have little like kiosk. I mean, even in Mexico, we were talking about, there's five different places to eat. And in the United States, in the American Adventure, there's one.
And it kind of makes us look like idiots, because all I have, most of it, is burgers and chicken fingers. You know what I'm saying?
And a hot dog.
Well, don't go against the hot dog. I'm not allowed to have one. but anyway, I mean, it makes us look like we have no palate in America. That's the thing I do agree with you. But again, the everything else raised it higher. What's number six for you, John?
Number six for me is France. Okay. Me and Lisa really both enjoy touring around the French Pavilion, even with the perfume smells. But I like the Ratatouille stuff. I like the merchandise in the back, some of the Eiffel Tower merchandise. And the bakery is one of our favorite stops in all of Epcot. I have a really good lobster bisque. I mean, you can get a baguette for a couple of bucks. They have some nice desserts, good cheese plates, nice variety of stuff. So, it's number six for us. We really enjoy France.
We end up in France in the morning at the bakery, and then we usually don't go back the rest of the day. So, what's six for you, Dan?
I had Morocco at six, and we already covered that.
And six for me was actually Germany, which would be a little higher if my wife actually liked the food here. But I like going in and looking at all the beer steins. I love the beer garden. I don't get to eat there as much as I would like to, but that's one of the buffets on property that I do enjoy, because I like the different food that they have in there. But I love the whole German pavilion, grabbing a couple beers, grabbing a pretzel, grabbing a hot dog, you know, what we just talked about. So, the German pavilion to me is one of my favorite ones. I have to roam through every one of the stores every time I'm in Germany. So I Germany came in number six for me.
But you never go in the Carmel store, right?
Yeah, we go in the Carmel store. We go in every store there.
I thought you weren't allowed to have Carmel.
I didn't. You you're thinking of somebody else. I'm allowed to have Carmel.
Oh, okay.
Warner's? What is the number one car?
Werther's.
Yeah, I have them in my bag every week at work. So I'm allowed to have caramel. I always have caramel.
Ooh, Yeah. You're a lucky boy. I wish I could have that.
Every time we go food shopping, I grab a bag of them. See, what happens is one of the bosses is giving me crap on the job site. I say, you want a piece of candy? And I give him one of my Warners, and it kind of calms them down a little bit. I'm known as the candy man on the job. I'm no dummy. But anyway, number five, Bobby.
Number five for us was Italy. Like I said earlier, we gave Italy credit for Via Napoli. It does have sentimental attachment for us because of the umbrella table, the glass of wine, watching illuminations, nice little pavilion. We sometimes go there even if it's not in the evening, and we'll just sit in the afternoon and watch the people meander in and out, the juggler when it comes about. Italy was number five for us.
Johnny?
Number five is Germany for us. Absolutely love the German food. Even if we don't have a reservation at Beer Garden, we'll go back and I'll get one of the fine German beers from Summerfest and maybe the Nudelgraten or the Frankfurter or the Bratwurst, and take our time touring through the shops. It also has my infamous $5 cheese and ham plate there over in
your charcuterie plate.
Yeah, love Germany. Yeah. And that's also where me and Lisa got engaged. So that would definitely be a strong number five.
How the hell is that not number one?
Only five?
How's that not number one? Lisa should be kicking you right in the butt after this show.
Hey, she had it. She only had it at number two. She said she didn't have it at number one either. So,
dude, would you are number two. She should be number one.
because as much as the engagement meant to me, the number one spot has a lot or even more.
Your son better have been born at this pavilion. That's all I'm going to say.
It's going to be awful close.
So. Okay, well, there you go. But remember I was saying about my wife? She actually had Germany at number five and don't like the restaurant, but she loves the pavilion so much. So, Dennis, what did you have at five?
Yeah, I had Germany at five as well. I ditto everything you guys said. You know, kind of a strong pavilion for me as well. I really enjoy that. And they have kind of a unique entertainment there, too. If you've ever listened, I forget what they're called, but they do that funky German music there. It's quite entertaining, or at least I think it is.
The funky Comedina?
There you go.
Oh, my. We actually... I do enjoy roaming through there. And looking at, if you really look, the buildings in Germany are some of the prettiest buildings on that property if you really look at them. The architecture is really phenomenal in that pavilion.
You're right. They are very detailed and colorful. And, you know, it's some of the, yeah, you're right. Now that I'm thinking of it, it probably is some of the best architecture in World Showcase.
Plus, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs are always there. So Grumpy, my buddy's always there. So I have to like that pavilion.
There you go.
Number four, Johnny. I mean, Bobby.
Okay, so now let's just stick with the topic. Number four, Germany. based really on the strength of Beer Garden. Surprisingly to me, Mrs. All in WDW likes Beer Garden even more than I do. And it's been a long time since we've been there, and I don't know, maybe this next trip we'll be able to try to fit it in.
Yeah, I mean, it you can't go wrong with that. Some of the things on the menu that with the what you call it, the deer being on there, the venison.
Venison.
Yeah, soon as my wife sees venison, the whole shooting match is over.
I knew I liked your wife.
Yeah, that's like the whole shooting match is over. She wants nothing to do with it. But the whole Oktoberfest, every time you're eating and the show that goes on, is it's a really good time. So that's why Germany also ranks pretty high for me. The show is very good in there. I know you enjoy that show too, John, don't you?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Our goal when we said it, the problem with us is we're always a party of two, and we always get stuck with six other strangers. And I never run into that great group of family that's just there to have a good time. I always end up with these business associates that seem to be talking about corporate, corporate stuff the entire time. So our goal always is to outlast those folks. So we always end up as the last two people at the table. So it's a great time. So, and this was also the first sit down restaurant that me and Lisa ever ate at was Beer Garden at Epcot. My son was about 15 months old, and we were pushing him around in the stroller. It was a hot day in the summer, and we just happened to get a walk-up reservation for it, walked in. He fell asleep as soon as we got in the air conditioning, and I think he slept for 2.5 hours, and we sat there and ate for about 45 minutes and then just sat and watched the show the rest of the time. It's still one of my favorite memories of all our trips that we've made to Disney.
And it's still ranked number 5, and he got engaged here. But anyway, what's number 4 for you, John?
Number 4 was Morocco.
Okay, number 4.
Based on the strength of Tangerine Cafe and stuff. So.
Number 4 for you, Dan?
Yeah, I had Italy at number 4. Strong pavilion for me, going back to the food. We really like Via Napoli, and, we enjoy, as Bob said, the courtyard there and all it has to offer. It's a strong pavilion for us, and again, I'll work in Food and Wine and Flower and Garden. I know Bob. Well, I think he had
Bob loves the ravioli during that time of the season.
Yeah, yeah. This last Food and Wine, he actually did enjoy.
Yeah, he did like
dish.
It.
I generally like Italian food, but I do agree with you, Doug. It's just middle of the road. It's more about the atmosphere being at Disney. And the oversized pizza they have down there than it is.
To be honest with you, I stay away from the Italian restaurants because I don't like the Italian waiters hitting on my wife all the time. I said it. So they're too suave and cool for me.
Yeah.
No, I'm just kidding. Number 3 for you, Bobby.
Number 3 for me, based on the fact that the shop is outstanding and there's a variety of restaurants, is Japan. I mean, sushi. How can you argue with that?
The sushi is good there. We ate at this place called Sakura over the weekend. I took the girls out to dinner and my sister-in-law up. And it was up, but it was very good. I got myself a spicy tuna roll and a California roll. I got some chicken wings. They had these ginger chicken wings. And I got a shrimp dish. I got all appetizers for my meal. And it was awesome. But I even, after we were done eating, my wife and me both go, the sushi in Japan, the pavilion in Disney World is so much is better than this. It was good, but there's something better about the California rolls and all at the Japan pavilion down there. It's very good sushi for a counter service meal.
I think all the food in Japan's outstanding. We've actually sat at the the hibachi table type restaurant. We've eaten at the counter service. We've of course eaten from the variety of offerings that they've supplied during the food festivals, whether Food and Garden or Flower and or Food and Wine. It's just for us, when you couple that with the size of that shop and the variety in there. I mean, Dennis talked earlier about the pearls, et cetera. I mean, it's just it's a good pavilion. So we ranked it number 3. You add an outstanding attraction to that pavilion, which is where we rated it the weakest. And all of a sudden that pavilion becomes a front runner to be number 1.
There's many places to eat here. I'll challenge you to a shrimp catching contest at Tapanito, Bob. I'm a master shrimp catcher. When he throws that shrimp in the air, I've never missed yet. I'm like a in the water. I'm like a porpoise.
I would pay $20 to watch you catch shrimp for a half hour.
Dude, me and my buddy, this is a true story. Me and my buddy Kent, a bunch of us all went out to dinner to this place called Iron Moto around the corner. And we were there, and me and my buddy Kent are so damn competitive. We played football together, baseball. We've grown up together. And it got to the point where our wives had to stop us because we were sitting there catching fish probably for 15, 20 minutes, Bob. And the chef was loving it. Here you go. He's telling us we're like kids catching high pops in the outfield, running around catching this shrimp. And finally, our wives made us quit. We had to end at a draw. And then we got to the bar. We went to a bar afterwards, and we go to my buddy Paul. We get him to start throwing popcorn in the air so we could break the tie because neither one of us wanted to lose. So, but yeah, I'll challenge you to a shrimp catching contest at Tampanito, Bobby. What's number three for you, John?
Number three for me, I agree with you. America's number three for me, based mostly on the strength of the show. That's by far the best attraction in World Showcase, if not all of Epcot.
Could you imagine if they put a great restaurant in there? How awesome that pavilion would be!
Absolutely. I mean, I even if they wanted to leave the quick services, just hamburgers and hot dogs, they have plenty of space, man. Make a nice sit-down restaurant for us, doing the same thing, you know, with menu items from all over the country. There's such a variety of food here in the United States. It's incredible that they deem us only as hamburger and hot dog eaters. So
yeah, right in the main building, serenaded by Voices of Liberty. I'm telling you, that's the only thing that separates, for me, that's the only thing that separates this pavilion from being number six from being number one.
Absolutely. If they had a restaurant in there that was awesome, you'd be waiting for reservations. You'd be on the 180 days out trying to get in this in there if they had the Voices of Liberty and they had a quality of Le Cellier. Could you imagine if Le Cellier was in the American Pavilion?
Oh, you're right. You'd have to, you know, be on the phone or on the computer, right, at 180 days to get an RDA. You're absolutely right. Or ADR, I should say.
Yeah, you'd have guys outside. I got two seats up front. Give me 50. You'd have scalpers out that pavilion selling tickets, selling their tables to get in there.
Yep.
I'm sorry, go ahead, Johnny.
Well, real quick, another strength of this pavilion, at least for me, is the block and hands little kiosk out front. They have a nice selection of craft beers, and they rotate them in and out quite often. So there's a good chance even going there within a week, you'll come across a new one that they've put in there. So it's a nice place to check out. So
I don't think there's ever been a trip that I haven't bought at least one beer from that pavilion every time. I don't think I've ever been to Epcot one night without buying a beer at that stand. So I know what you're saying, John. It's a must do.
Yep.
Number three for you, Dan.
Number three for me is United Kingdom. Obviously, Rose and Crown, one of my favorite restaurants, and Bangers and Mash and all that goes with that. Over the years, at least three or four times now, we've been fortunate enough to get outdoor seating for our dinner to watch Illumination. So there's nothing better than having a nice meal and enjoying the show and, you know, the festive atmosphere. I know, you know, the pub there, when you go in, it's generally, even in the middle of the day, is hopping, if you will, people hooting and hollering. They have the lady that plays the piano, and it's really the feel of an English pub like it's supposed to be. And just that whole restaurant, and then across the street, I enjoy the, you know, the band that plays out there. I forget what it's called now, but they do the, you know, the English, you know, rock songs or whatever, and the Hedge and the tea caddy and even the stores. I mean, I can't say that I bought a lot of stuff in the stores over the years, but they have, you know, a Beatles section, and you can buy your teas in there, and they got, you know, if you're into soccer, they got all the soccer and what is it, Manchester and all that stuff in there. So that pavilion, I think, is very well balanced with a restaurant and retail space, entertainment. I think it has it all. And again, if I wasn't, you know, as patriotic as I am, it could have made a strong bid for number one on my list.
Well, the thing is, and you know, I usually don't cut you off, so that's why I waited. It's the British Revolution, is what the name of the group is over there. Because I don't like to butt in as other people are talking. I try to stay
away. Yeah, that never
Is this Doug?
Is this a new thing that happened while I was away?
Yes. Yeah. I've always been polite. I've never stepped on any of you guys. But the thing of it is the Rose and Crown actually has three different entertainment groups. They have that acoustical group. What's that? What's it, Quick Step or something? John, do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, you know, I haven't seen them lately. I imagine they're still out there, but they play out front.
They're really good, too. Yeah, I think they're called Quick Step or something like that. And then you also have the piano player inside the Rose and Crown Pub. So they have quite a lot of entertainment at the pavilion.
Yeah, it has a lot to offer. I think it's very strong for all those reasons. It has a little bit of something for everybody.
Two for you, Bobby.
All right, so we talked about it earlier. You know, love the architecture. The shops are outstanding. It's very unique. The restaurants, there's five of them. Mexico is number two for us.
And I can't say you're wrong there, Bob. We've already gone over everything we love about it. I mean, just the boat ride, the volcano, get a tequila, mariachi band. I don't understand it. I think it's the it's right up there with the most beautiful pavilion. So Mexico is beautiful for me. It just it couldn't make it to number one.
But very underrated.
It is. And I get Dennis and all with the food and everything else, but just that inside marketplace is gorgeous. Two for you, Johnny.
Number two for me is Japan. It's lately became me and Lisa's like one of our favorite stops. She loves to get that yakigori frozen ice thing downstairs at the Kabuki Cafe, and I can get a frozen Kira in there, and we can just sit up in those. There's some absolutely gorgeous seats that they put in just about a year and a half ago up there by the waterfall. It's peaceful. You can catch the breeze. And we've actually just sat there and caught bits and pieces of illuminations before because it's nice and secluded back there. So it's a beautiful pavilion. The rest of the restaurants are very good. Love going to the stores. That statue in the back with the – I guess he's a Japanese general on the horse. That was me and my son's picture spot for about 6 years. Every trip we'd go on, we'd get a picture by it. And when he stopped going with us on all of our trips or stopped wanting to go to Epcot, I'd take a couple of pictures by that and then send it to him and go, "Where's my buddy at?"
Oh. So,
make him feel guilty, right?
Oh, absolutely.
He deserves that.
Love Japan. Love Japan. So.
Yeah, just so you guys know, when we got there, we're walking by, and John goes, "You want to go up to Japan Pavilion?" I'm like, "Okay, give me a minute." And the next thing I know, I'm on his shoulders. He's carrying me up, slams me down at the table, and throws this frozen Kieran in front of me. I knew you wanted to come to the Japan Pavilion. Like, we didn't even have a choice. Next thing I know, that frozen beer is sitting in front of me. I didn't even get to take a sip. Do you like it? What do you think? How's it? Is it good?
Pretty good.
But no, I get what you're saying. The Japan Pavilion is gorgeous. And those new seats are really nice, John. It's a really nice view.
Yeah, and like I said, that frozen Kirin's not the best beer you'll have in Epcot, but it will be the coldest. And on a hot Florida summer afternoon, sometimes that's all that really matters. So.
No, it's a good time, the Japan Pavilion. I like everything about it. Two for you, Dan?
Two for me was Canada, and again, primarily on the strength of Le Cellier, and we covered that.
Yep, two for me was Canada, and what's number one for you, Bobby? Go ahead, say it.
Okay, so based on the strength of fish and chips, bangers and mash, the shops, the bands, United Kingdom is the place that I asked Mrs. All in WDW earlier today, if we could go to Epcot World Showcase and we could only visit one pavilion, what would it be? And unequivocally, she said United Kingdom. So that is our number one.
And I can't say I blame you. It's my number one, too. Everybody knows how much I love the bangers in Asheville. The other reason I also love it is because I always, when we go to Epcot, we always come in through the World Showcase area, through the back area. through from the Boardwalk International Gateway. And as soon as you walk in, I walk in, and right to the left is the tea caddy with that beautiful garden area. And I know I'm home, because as soon as we get there, it's like, ah, heaven. And we'll walk down. You got the fish and chips. And the whole pavilion what do you guys think? Do you think it's the biggest pavilion? I do. That or America, yeah. They're close. Those two are the biggest two, I think.
Hard to say from a square footage perspective with the giant stores in Japan and China. It might be close. But, especially the outsides, the grounds, and it's huge. It's pretty expansive. And as you know, the store goes on and on and on, and they have all the different types of buildings, a different architecture. So, it's got a vibe for, being up there for one of the biggest, if not the biggest.
Why I think it seems the biggest, too, and tell me if I'm wrong, because I'm usually not, just in case you guys didn't realize that. But I think it's because of having the Rose and Crown on the water. Instead of having, the gondolas and, in front of the Japan Pavilion, you really don't have anything on the water. Like, they don't use the waterfront to their full advantage. I think because the Rose and Crown is on the water, and then you have all the pavilions, all the buildings behind it, I think, and it runs all the way up the International Gateway, I think that's what makes that pavilion seem so big. Because it's cool to walk back behind, and then when the band's playing back there, to grab yourself a nice harp, some fish and chips, and hang out back there. It don't get much better than the United Kingdom Pavilion.
No, I would say, I don't know what the breakout is, but I probably spend, a larger percentage of my time in World Showcase in the United Kingdom Pavilion. I just am attracted to it, and I will, if I'm not thinking, I'll just start walking there anyways, like you said, Doug. I mean, I don't even consider taking a right and heading to France when I first entered through the gateway. Whether we have ADRs or not, more often than not, we're going to end up going to United Kingdom and hang around on that side between that and, Canada on that side of the World Showcase. So, very easily could have been number one in my book. And for those that picked it number one, it's justified because, like Bob said, it just has so much to offer.
The bangers and mash, like you said, Bob, and the fish and chips, they're two of the best meals on the whole property.
It just occurred to me that the last time I met with John was at the Rose and Crown Pub. And the last time I had a dinner with Dennis and his lovely family was at Rose and Crown.
Wow, that's right.
Great restaurant, man. And we might have our first meal there, hopefully.
Yeah, we got to do that.
Exactly.
Get the band together and head to the Rose and Crown. That would be awesome.
Maybe you'll have to sneak back down again the first week of December then. Solo trip.
That's doable. That's doable.
Yeah, maybe you have to do that. Johnny, Pete, Larry, Terry, Kevin, what's your number one?
Well, gee, guys, I wonder where I'm going. Even with the lack of a great meal I had at the Rose and Crown the last time I was there, UK Pavilion is still number one for me also. The beer selection, you can't be beat. The fish and chip shop is fantastic. We can't walk by without getting at least one. We always split it, but it's a perfect mid-morning snack or early afternoon lunch for us. And like I said, you can go into the Rose and Crown and get any great British beer that you want. But everything is sentimental. So when my son was about 14 months old, he would love to run around, and he needed that little afternoon break. We'd take him back to that hedge maze. I'd get a bass and just sit and chase him through the hedge maze for probably a good 45 minutes at a time. And we also had some of the best character experiences ever back there with Tigger, Mary Poppins, Alice in Wonderland, all interacting with him and stuff. And that was back before they had set times and cues and all that kind of stuff. So they'd just pop up and he would see them and run to them, and just great memories. Some of the best times ever we ever had. So,
And what about
UK is number one for us.
What about the street atmosphere they used to have?
Absolutely. I was, World Showcase players. I was in that probably 10 times through the year. So, yeah, I missed that show. I mean, if there would have been a chance of it not being number one, it would have been because they got rid of the World Showcase players. But, yeah, I missed that more than anything else they got rid of. Absolutely love that silly play they used to do. So
I've watched that many a times over the years, and they did a great job, and it was just fun watching the different guests get sucked into the show and participate, and like you said, you've actually done it, and that was a good time, that's for sure.
If you ever had the Bangers and Mashineer, John, that'll become your number one memory.
I don't think it'll ever be.
I beg to differ. I'm just kidding with you. No, but me and Brenda's grabbed the fish and chips. I mean, have you guys ever gotten the fish and chips there and they've ever been greasy? I've never gotten them where they haven't been just perfect. Am I wrong about that?
They're fried, but they do a very good job of, we just had Long John Silver's the other night, and while Long John Silver's is good, you can eat it about once every 9 months before, that's it. That theirs, for some reason, doesn't sit on you nearly as heavy as some of the other fried fish joints you'll grab. So
yeah, you don't pick it up or eat it and look at the paper underneath it and look like they just put a whole pot of grease underneath it. And that's the problem I have with a couple of the local establishments, because every once in a while I'll have a hankering for some fish and chips to remind me of Epcot. And every time I've gotten them up here, I got to stop it, because I've realized we don't know how to make fish and chips in the Northeast. In my area right here, I just need to say no, order the cheesesteak and go home.
Right.
Yeah. It's probably healthier than all the grease that's on the fish and chips I'm getting. So.
Right.
But Bob, you are a genius picking United Kingdom one. I am super smart. John is really smart. And Dennis, you picked America, so we'll let you slide.
Oh, thank you.
So, you're a true patriot, especially with the 4th of July coming up, Dennis. You're our American hero of this podcast.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's the only one that picked the right choice in the Revolutionary War.
Yes.
But I know what I'm doing, John.
But we're gonna have full bellies before we go to war. He's not going to eat right with the Liberty Inn. But no, this has been a lot of fun. It's nice having you back, Bob.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Thank you. I appreciate that. And it's good to be back. It's good to be off the road, for crying out loud. It's been 3 months, and both my wife and I are exhausted.
Yeah. Now you got to get the Epcot attractions together for us one of these episodes, and we got to get them going again.
We can do that. We kind of went on hiatus when that was about March when I went on the road. Actually, we were due to do that, so we'll have to jump back into Epcot favorite attractions.
Yeah, especially after they made the announcements. By the time we do this, all the attractions that exist might be gone.
Yeah. And Bob, I'm sure you heard that the menus for food and wine will be out, maybe not soon, but in the near future. So that whole vicious cycle will be starting over again for you as well.
Oh, I check every day, Dennis. I check every day.
I know.
It almost has
to
be pretty soon, as early as it's starting this year. So, it has to be pretty soon, right? So,
yeah, well, it starts August 31st. They have to be any time now.
Yeah, exactly. Actually, it's not as far away as I think it is.
No, it's the only time Bob contacts me. Can I do a show? Menus are out. I mean, he called me last time they came out at 2:30 in the morning. He texted me, are you up? I'm like, no, I'm not up, but I am now.
Yeah, the sad thing was he was up.
Yeah. Yeah. The menus are out. I thought, do you mean the British are coming? No, the menus are out. No, but this has been a lot of fun, guys. Again, we love all 11 pavilions. And so before we end the show, what pavilion would you guys each like to have added to World Showcase? And I'll start with you, Bobby.
That great question, and this is in honor of a young friend of ours who just this past Saturday headed off on a work abroad program and hasn't quite made it to her final destination yet, but she's going to be living for the next year working and touring in New Zealand. So this one's for Ashley, and I hope she has a fun and safe time. But my 12th pavilion would be New Zealand, or if you'd like, New Zealand / Australia.
Well, you have safe travels, and we hope you have a great time. To Ashley, was that what you said, Bob? Ashley?
Yes, it is.
Okay, have safe travels. What did you think, John? What's your 12th pavilion?
I almost agree with Bob with New Zealand / Australia, but I'd rather see that in Animal Kingdom, because then we'd have some of the wildlife that would deservedly, need a spot out there.
And John, but Iowa is a state, not a country, so don't pick Iowa.
Oh, all right then. You're going to be that critical. No, I still think that South America needs some kind of representation. And for any people that would say, well, Mexico's out there, Mexico's part of North America, not part of South America. So I'd love to see Brazil represented out there with and not to mention a nice steakhouse to go with it. I think Epcot could support two steakhouses, La Celia on one side and Brazilian Steakhouse on the other. So,
and let's get to the bottom of this, no pun intended. He just wants the waitresses in Brazilian bikinis, Brazilian cut bikinis. That's where he's going.
Well, would you have a problem with
this? I plead the fifth.
I guess Brenda must listen to the show then.
No, really she don't, but this will probably be the episode she does. But anyway, that's a good call, though. And where would you go, Dan?
I would add Russia. I figure there's a reason for it. I figure how competitive the two countries are, Russia and us. Maybe we could get like an attractions war and we try to keep outdoing each other. We got the best attraction. We'd tear it down and then they'd come out with something new and then they'd tear theirs down and build and build. So we'd get awesome attractions if we had Russia in the world showcase.
Well, I'll say one thing. John would like it because we get some good vodka.
Yeah.
I don't know about that. I don't know anything about vodka, so I'll let you deal with that one. So.
But I'm sure if it was in Epcot, you'd learn about it awful quick, John.
I'd probably take a class.
Yeah, they have this frozen vodka over in Russia, man.
Right. I could just see it in the merchandise stores. You could buy them big furry hats, and it'd be awesome. Walking around World Showcase, 98 degrees, humidity, and one of them things on, right?
With my hockey jersey on from Canada.
Yes.
Oh, I picked Australia, which I thought would be good. Get some kangaroos and some koala bears inside of World Showcase. And I don't know. I think it would be something different. What do you? If we could get Crocodile Dundee in there?
Yeah. That's long been rumored, and I think that it's probably a strong contender for actually coming to be if they do indeed add a country or two into World Showcase. I think it's a strong contender.
And my wife and the countryside is beautiful. My wife had a good one too. She said Greece, which I think would be pretty cool. The start of the Olympics, the whole nine yards?
Yeah, I think Greece would be an outstanding choice. I mean, the reason I like New Zealand, outside of the sentimental aspect that I just said a little bit ago, is it's a different area of the world that isn't represented right now. And I, to John's point, I completely respect that. But we do have Mexico in World Showcase, and no, it's not the same as Brazil. And you can make a strong argument for Brazil just because of the tourism that comes up here at certain times of the year. But I would like to see something that's, completely different from what we've seen, what we have there now, and that's why I would pick New Zealand. Besides, the most important point, if you think back to Food and Wine, New Zealand is the marketplace that serves lamb meatballs.
That's so what I was going to say. It's all about the food, and it's about the lamb, but I wanted you to continue your little spiel there, your salesmanship.
Yeah, see, I open up the pavilion, put the marketplace at the front, and put a nice little seating area that has a view of illuminations. And, oh, by the way, don't take away illuminations, and we'll be happy.
Well, I think you're going to be sad, but And I think I'm going to be sad too, but hopefully they create something great when it does come out. What they could do for Bob is just keep the New Zealand pavilion open all year, the marketplace. He could just eat lamb meatballs all year, and he'd be happy.
Forget the bangers and mash. You bet I would.
Yeah, I won't. I ain't saying that. I still get my bangers. But, guys, this has been a lot of fun. I really enjoyed myself. And, again, Bob, we hope to get you on here soon to do some other shows. We enjoy having you on. Tell everybody where they can find you.
It's all in WADW on Twitter, at It's All in WADW. And the website for the podcast is allinwadw.com. Stop on over, see the different posts that we're putting out, recaps of the shows, some original content, and visit our sponsors. If you come over to allinwadw.com, you can visit places like Garden Grocer, etc. Support our sponsors. I mean, it helps keep the show and the podcast or the website running.
Yeah, we got David's Any Lead over there, too. So come over and check out all of our fine sponsors. And, John, where can they find you?
Hey, I'm over at Beer Solo on Twitter, Facebook. Just look me up at John Peters. And if you're interested, I do another podcast on beer called The Weekly Pint, where we talk about some beers that you can find at Epcot. In addition, I set up a fantasy football league for us this year. We've got a couple of teams in there, but I got plenty of room. If anybody's interested in playing fantasy football against us, send me a Twitter message and a direct Twitter message, and I'll send you an invite. And everybody's in, welcome to come play with us and see how we do. Because I know Doug's just going to kick everybody's butt, right?
So. I hope so. With football. And Dan, where can they find you? Do you want me to tell everybody, or you want to do
it? No. When I'm not in Disney World, you can find me in New England. No, I'm only kidding.
Do you see what I got to deal with? You should see him more off the air when I call him up about the show.
That was good. That was good. Yeah. I like that one.
I'm answering the question. No, Oak Manor on Twitter and WBW Main Street. And I'm around.
And you can find me a good old grumpy 6767. I don't understand why I got that handle, but I'm sticking with it, and you can find us all at WDW Main Street. Everybody have a great rest of your week, and we will talk to you real soon.
Good night.
Bye, everybody.
Night, folks.
I was just going to say good night, John. Good night, John. See you guys later.
Good night, John.
Bye-bye. Well, that's it, guys. It's last call here at the pub. We're going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and head on out of here. But before we go, let me tell you about two of our other fine sponsors. American Tourist Travel. If you need a Disney vacation booked, contact us at American Tourist Travel at americantouristtravel.com. Show is also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for any of the theme parks in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. Well, that's going to be it, guys. We'll talk to you real soon. Have a very safe and happy week. Bye-bye.